Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
We welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. We're presented by PPV.com. Inside Boxing Live, the only non-biased boxing show in the world. We are not bought by anyone. We tell it like it is. We do have a sponsor, though, and we love them. PPV.com is the leader in live events, whether it's AEW wrestling, boxing, and more. No subscriptions. We're living in a subscription world. I have so many subscriptions to apps I don't even know about. But with PPV.com, you go a la carte. You go fight by fight, event by event. Just put your email in, and you got yourself a perfect stream, whether it's going to your TV, your tablet, your smartphone. Chris has watched fights on airplanes. Don't tell the FAA, because he will get arrested. But
again,
it is again. It is a great service, and it is our proud presenting sponsor. We appreciate them. They keep the lights on. I have a lot of lights in this office. How are you, Chris, as we get ready to talk more and more boxing?
I'm great. It's Sunday morning still. Kind of a slow-moving morning over here, but all good.
Yeah, we got some snow here in New York City. I'm not in New York City anymore. I'm in Long Island. On Long Island. We got snow here.
I got a bunch of photos this morning sent to me by my New York brethren telling me about New York sucks and snow. And then I sent a picture of me smoking a cigar outside. And they were like, yeah, okay, you suck.
These are the dog days of winter. Like, why aren't there dog days of winter? There's dog days of summer, like, you know, late July or August when it's super hot. Dog days of winter exists, where this is the months where you hunker down, where you don't talk to anyone, where you're dry January, you're just living every day, just trying to get through every day. It builds character. I think it's important to live through the seasons.
It builds relationships too. It's cuffing season. Everyone, you should have a girl to nestle up to, or a guy,
or a man
you're into. Yeah, whatever you're into, you should have someone to nestle up to.
We do have female listeners.
Seven.
Single digits.
There's seven of them, yeah.
Digits nonetheless.
Yeah, we have them. We do have them, which is better than most boxing shows because they have none. we do have league listeners, and they're going to be coming to the party too.
That's right, Chris.
Our IBL party is right around the corner, 2 weeks away. Make sure you get your tickets. But yeah, I've had a bunch of people reach out, very excited about the event and that we're going to be in New York City together making appearances. So
that's right. January 31st, Inside Boxing Live presents the best pregame party you'll ever attend. Teofimo versus Shakur is going off that night. We'll be at Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar. It's like five steps away from the Garden, starting at 5 p.m. till whenever. You can go into the fight. I know a lot of you will have tickets. I know some of you have reached out to say, hey, are you guys going to be hanging out at the bar watching the fights? Pretty good chance that we're just going to stick at the bar and watch the fights.
More than likely, yes.
Eat, drink, and be merry and watch the fights. So it's a pretty cool event. Tickets right now are $20 if you use the Eventbrite link that we have in our bio. $25 at the door. Ticket gets you one free drink. Tickets are moving. I'm pretty excited with the amount of tickets we've sold so far. Hit up my brother, who is an MMA promoter, sumo wrestling promoter. I told him the amount of tickets we sold. And he goes, that's pretty impressive, Dan, for 2 weeks out. And we are less than two weeks out from Shakur and Teofimo, which should be a great fight. And then we're going to have a great night hanging out with everyone over at Jack Doyle's.
Did my brother put in his order yet? Because he's going to get like 20 tickets. Like
I want your brother to come, and I want you to buy the tickets. I would be a little upset if the bulk of the tickets came from your brother and not like individual people buying.
I don't think he bought them yet. So there's another. Okay. There's another 20 on top of what you already got. So.
All right. I can't see the names. We'll see the names when they get to the door, because that's how we're going to let you in. But I'm looking forward to all the Algeries making appearances. I have messages out to a lot of fighters, managers. We're gonna make this one of make it fun, and like we always do, and have a grand old time. Saturday, January 31st. Buy your tickets now.
I was thinking, Dan, we probably got to make a Keens trip prior. You know, when you and I got to go do Keens.
That's a given, bro.
That's our dinner pre-show before we host. I think that's a good smart move. It's
like a 3 p.m. Keens.
Yeah, that's kind of our January.
Like heavy? Are we going heavy steak, mutton, like rolling into Jack Doyle's?
Yeah, you've got to go in there well fed, dude. Yeah, you got to be well fed. We'll get woken up. We'll get a coffee on the way. It'll be all right. We'll get some espressos. Martini? Yeah, we'll get some espressos on the way into the party, so everyone will be at high energy to meet and greet.
Bro, that's
everyone.
A move. That's a Saturday. Keens. Straight to Jack Doyle's, straight to the Garden, potentially.
Well, you remember last year, beginning of last year, it was like January 3rd or something. It was very early in January. You and I had a lunch Keens meeting, and we talked about what 2025 was going to look like. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I am. We dominated 2025, and
we're like, hey, we're going to do 90 episodes this year.
That planning that we did there was that brainstorming that we did at Keens. You get those amino acids in you from the steak and the mutton. your brain just starts firing so fast. So we gotta get that going.
Yeah, we'll definitely plan that. There won't be any tickets.
So much content is going to be produced that day.
All right, let's get into the news. It's been kind of a funny weekend with a lot of announcements and a lot of news. No real fights. We had a fight night on Friday night. Golden Boy, Rocha did not make weight, so it was Curiel versus Panthen, which ended up being a decent fight. I popped it on.
Panthen's a tough kid. He's a tough
kid. Very tough, and he pushed Curiel to the limit. Curiel got the win. So that was the boxing portion. No boxing on Saturday night, and maybe it had to do with NFL football dominating.
Some big news. Bills dropping it right at the end.
Bills doing what the Bills do, losing in heartbreaking fashion.
They're good enough to make it competitive, but they're just they're bad enough just to ruin it and crush your soul.
I found myself really invested in the Bills. They're just the lovable losers, but it's all about the Giants now. Giants picked up John Harbaugh.
Yes, that's huge.
So the Giants are back, baby. I got my giant helmet here somewhere.
You're a Giants fan, right? Yeah, that's your team.
True and true, baby.
Yeah, me too. I'm a Giants guy.
Some hard times though. We got a quarterback, Jackson Dart. I know his girlfriend. No big deal. And we're back.
Giants is he coming? Is he coming to the pre-show fight party? are you guys on that level yet?
No, I haven't met the guy yet.
Dang it.
And Marissa is strictly a co-worker. We have a very good working relationship. I go to the event model shoots. We have fun ringside. Maybe you will. Maybe not. I don't know. That's a question.
It's still early. There's 2 weeks left. We got time.
Right. You don't want to ask too early because it's
right? Because those guys they go off on a whim.
They do stuff like fly to Vegas on a Tuesday. Jackson Dart, the way he's living. I remember those days.
Those
days are few and far between, my friend.
Now I have homes and pools to worry about, and dogs. Used to be able to just fly off on a whim.
Boxing.
You're in Long Island now. You're a Long Island guy.
Yeah, but these months are lean.
Lean.
Lean months. All right, because I swear we're going to get into some boxing. Are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay. Our listeners like to hear us.
Yeah,
bullshit. So
I swear, if we put up another channel where we don't talk boxing
and just shoot from the cuff, yeah, I bet you we get a lot of views on that too.
We might have to do that. Wasn't there something where you can like pay a little extra for that?
Dan, I have so many people be like, "Hey, when are you going to get me on your show?" I'm like, "We don't really do interviews. The listeners don't. They don't want to hear that. The listeners.
I don't know. I always put out a poll every year, a feeler on Twitter. Do you want guests or do you just want me and Chris? And majority of people just say, "Hey, I want you guys just talking boxing as if we're at the bar." And that's what we're going to continue to do. If you want guests, we've had very, very small amount of guests. And one
very
of
good ones, though. Very good ones.
One of our guests was Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah.
Who, to this day, thinks that I despise him. Meanwhile, we've had him on our show. Keyshawn Davis.
And we are very, and actually, we're actually very pro Shakur podcast in general over the years. Yeah.
I'm going to have to – hopefully I see him during fight week in not a threatening way. And I just give him a handshake and I say, brother, let's bury the hatchet.
Yeah, because he came after me one time. And I remember like even like our listeners were like, Chris is always on your side, dude. You need to not.
Like, we picked you to beat Tank. We picked you to beat everyone. And when everyone was all over you after the De Los Santos fight, we said, hey, let's wait and see what he does after it. So, yeah, whatever. That's not the point. It is what it is.
All of the guys that we like really like, guys like Teofimo, guys like Shakur Stevenson, guys like Ryan Garcia, have all, and Keyshawn Davis, and other, they've except for Keyshawn, everybody's come after us. One point or another. I mean,
isn't that like a sign that you're doing something right?
I guess. I mean, you mentioned that we're unbiased, so there is that. We do kick it straight, and that's one of the most common DMs I get from people. Is like, you guys, you know, speak the truth, say it how it is. Like, we're not fanboys. We're not just kissing the butt of our favorite fighters. You know, we're delivering the news. We are media, so we have to be.
You know, you're doing a good job when someone like Ryan Garcia has been like, "Hey, why did you say that shit about me?" And then he's also DM'd me like, "Yo, I heard what you said, and I couldn't agree more. Like, let me say something good about it." So it's like you're getting it from both sides. The same thing with, you know, I got DMs from Haney saying like, "You guys keep it real, keep it. You just tell the truth, and that's all we can do is tell the truth." And that's why
Haney's another guy. He's another guy that we've been pretty positive about.
I don't have rooting interests. I don't think you have any
rooting interests. No, like, it's not rooting interests at all. It's like, you know, we got guys we like, but at the same time, that's the thing about boxing. You have to perform all the time. You have to live up to the expectations at all times, which is tough. But listen, I did it. You've been around it. So.
Absolutely. Jai Opataya has signed with Zuffa Boxing. It's by far their biggest signing. He's the reigning Ring Magazine and IBF Cruiserweight Champion. Good move or bad move, Chris?
For who? For Jai or for our
everyone
for
Zuffa? Involved?
Zuffa, I think it's very.
Start with Jai. Is that a good move for Jai?
That's yet to be seen. It's the reason, and this is going to be on both sides, why it's good for Zuffa and it could be potentially good for Jai, is that it's the Cruiserweight division, right? The Cruiserweight division doesn't abide by any of the rules of the rest of the sport of boxing because it's a bit of a niche division. It's like a kind of a bridger weight, even though there is a bridger weight, which is not a real thing. So it's kind of like a bridger weight between, you know, from light heavy to heavyweight. And we often see cruiserweights going up to heavyweight, famously, historically, Evander Holyfield, Usyk, Alexander Usyk, who is the reigning heavyweight champion. So we do get a lot of talent going into heavyweight from the cruiserweights, which is kind of like your destiny at cruiserweight, because they're, you know, the heights of cruiserweight are nowhere near, you know, the heights of cruiserweight are at the depths of the heavyweight. So everyone kind of moves that way in order to make the big bucks and get the big fights. So in terms of not going by the rules there, I think it's a good move for Jai Opatai because he's going to have trouble breaking into the U.S. market as a cruiserweight. Even though he's a very likable guy, he's got the look, he fights the way that we want to see him fight. So I do think it's a good move on his part for that, as long as he can make the fights that matter, like Zerto. If you can't fight Zerto, it's a really bad move. If that X's out the Zerto fight, it's a horrible move.
Well, you mean just any of the champions?
Yeah, but Zerto's the fight.
Zerto's fighting Benavidez.
Correct. So that's probably why he's moving this way. Okay. If Benavidez is to win and decides to stay a cruiserweight, because that's part of the caveat. Does Benavidez stay a cruiserweight after he beats Zerto?
Yes.
Because I don't know.
He's not going backwards.
He could. He could.
That guy is just going forwards. He's going to heavyweight.
Yeah, but forward is not a Bibol fight. Forward's not a better BF fight.
I would love to see that. It's a whole different discussion. But I will say this. Like, Opataya signs with Zuffa, and it took me by surprise. I think it took all of boxing by surprise because they're scooping up B-level, C-level fighters, and that's to be expected. Then you go and sign a reigning champion, one of the 20 best fighters in boxing today, Ring Magazine champion, which is going to come into play here, an IBF champion, a cruiserweight. So it was a very calculated move by Zuffa. He's available. He had a falling out with Matchroom. He famously could not get any big fights. I don't know if you want to blame Matchroom, you want to blame Opataya, you want to blame everyone. You can play the blame game all day long. But Zuffa Boxing has stated numerous times, Dana White has stated numerous times, we are not working with other promoters. We are not working with the sanctioning bodies. And then you have Jai Opataya on his video to announce this fight saying, let's get these unifications, let's get undisputed. So what are we doing here? I think Zuffa needs to come out and make a statement. Are they going to bin the belts? Are we going to see Opetaia bin the IBF belt and say, I'm only fighting for the ring title? Because then that's a whole different thing. So I it's a great signing, but I need to see more. Are they going to work with the sanctioned bodies in the interim until he gets all the titles and then he becomes the main guy? Because you don't always need titles to know that you're the main guy. But if he goes and beats, say he wins his next fight, Benavidez wins against Zerto, Opetaia beats Benavidez, and then it's very clear that Opetaia is the best cruiserweight in the world, and Zuffa can say, we have the best cruiserweight champion. But it just goes, it's very contradictory, because what is Zuffa going to be about? Are they going to stick to their guns and throw away the titles and not work with other promoters? Because then Opetaia is fighting whoever Zuffa signs and ever has in front of him, and it's no different than the last 5 years for him.
Short answer, no. They're going to, just like they've been moving, they're going to slow play, in like a lamb. Just like in the beginning, they said, oh, we're only going to make the competitive fights, blah, 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 blah. This card is, you know, it's a decent card, but you're not seeing the best versus the best on the card, if you really look at it. So what they say and what they do initially are not on the same level. So in terms of abolishing the belts right off the bat, I don't see that. Down the line, for sure. But like you said, they're going to have to maneuver and they're going to need someone to spearhead that. Is Jai Opetai the guy to spearhead that? The fact that it's cruiserweight, no. Because if he does collect all the belts in that scenario that you put out there, where does he go from there? Now the belts get relinquished, right? And now guys start fighting for the belts. And now there's other world champions that are cruiserweight. Yeah, you're the king of the cruiserweights, but there's a bunch of other champions out there who want to fight you and want claim to the throne. But does Jai then move up to heavyweight? And if that's the case, how are you going to get heavyweight fights? How are you going to get title fights there? So initially, you cannot just come out of the gate and be like, nah, we're not working with those guys. We're doing our own thing. Because then you create a bubble that you can't get out of. I don't see that happening. It doesn't make sense. So you got to play the game until it's time to take over. And
so Dana needs that's to come what it out seems and like. Say that. And
I don't think Dana doesn't. He doesn't, because
I know, but he the fans are confused because I posted about it.
Welcome to boxing, fans.
Yeah, like more confusion when this is supposed to be the whole point of Zuffa and TKO is supposed to be less confusion, one belt.
Confusion is one of the tactics. Confusion is one of the tactics of.
Well, it's a political tactic.
Well, for sure, in terms
of boxing is politics.
Boxing is politics, exactly. So that's part of that's confusion is good. Keeping the people confused is how the powers that be stay in power.
Well, it's our job to unconfuse the people. Is that a word? Or did I just confuse you?
Clarify.
Clarify.
Yeah.
I'm going to push back a little bit on what you said about the cruiserweight division. It's all about whatever names are in the division. Benavidez is in this division. Zerto is in this division. Chris Billiam Smith is in this division. What if Beterbiev says, hey, I want to go to cruiserweight? What if Bivol says, I want to go to cruiserweight? Suddenly you have names, but we know for sure that Benavidez is in this division and Zerto, and they're fighting in May. Run of a fight. If Benavidez comes through that fight, Benavidez versus Opetaia is a mouthwatering fight. And what is Zuffa's involvement in that? Are they just another promoter now at this point? Are they just they have Opetaia and they're going to put him in there with Benavidez and it's going to be a re-added season card? Because that's not game changing. That's not anything different than we've already been seeing in the sport. And if it's the latter, where it's just going to be Opetaia on this island fighting B-level, C-level guys that Zuffa brings in, that's also not game changing. So I think we have to wait and see.
Keep going, Dan. I'm gonna go grab something real quick.
I guess this is now a solo podcast. Yes, but that's what I thought when I first saw this signing, is what does this mean moving forward? Because it's a massive signing, 100%. They got the guy in Opetaia. That's the main thing, acquire talent. Wow, what a flex.
You know what boxers like?
What they a like, flex.
They like belts, dude. They like that's, championships. They matter.
Wow.
They
wow.
matter. So when you talk about doing this thing, and starting a whole new venture and making your own belt. The fighters like belts, man. Fighters grew up. We all of us champions were all once kids watching fights and seeing green belts and red belts and black belts and WBA and WBO and IBF and WBC. We all grew up watching that. Getting rid of that is going to take a very long time. It's going to take a generation to get rid of that because these are generational belts. These matter to us fighters. You hear that? These things are real. Yeah. These things are real. They're tangible. They matter. And fighters care about them. Fans care about them. And as much as we gripe about governing bodies and the guys who make these belts, they still matter. And they're a very important part of the sport. And these things change fighters' lives. These things create generational wealth for fighters. These things make families. So the belts matter.
Great promo. I just felt like I was in the WWF again. That was freaking amazing. What a freaking
That's another thing. We grew up with that. We had the fake WWF belt. Like that
Oh, there's
was
a new
fun.
Belt, bro. There's a new
was
belt.
Fun.
I don't know
there
if you saw
new
Dana.
Belt.
Did you watch the promo video? Dana, they kind of teased the belt. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, there's a kind of a struggle going on here because the fighters love the belts. Every fighter says, I grew up wanting to fight for the, like you just said, I wanted to fight for the WBC, whatever. The belts matter. Then you have a big portion of fans that say, I'm tired of the belts. I'm tired of what they represent. I'm tired of everything
the shenanigans.
Behind it.
Shenanigans. Yes.
And there's some fighters that are tired of the shenanigans. There's some fighters that are fed up with the sanctioning fees.
We're tired of the sanctioning fees, for sure.
Top guys. It's you know, Terrence Crawford, who can dump the belts because he's about to retire with $100 million in the bank. But then you have the old Shaki Fosters, who I spoke with that week, who said, I love my WBC belt. I don't mind paying the sanctioning fee. I was told where my money goes. This belt changed my life.
Yes.
So we're at the crossroads here. This is why I believe boxing is in one of the most interesting time periods right now, because we have an entity in Zuffa Boxing, TKO, Dana White, Turki Alashik, coming in and trying to change 100 years plus of history and pecking order and structure right before us. It's super interesting. I don't know, man. I'm very curious, and I think this Opetaia thing, he's the guinea pig. Like, Jai Opetaia, of all people, a guy that is very good, but is pretty much unknown in the U.S., or 100% unknown in the U.S., is known by hardcores. He is the guinea pig here. How is he going to be moved? I'm very curious what he was promised.
He's the tip of the spear for them. No question.
Big signing.
Huge
100%.
Signing.
Not knocking the signing. I just want to see what's going to happen.
And I think for Zuffa, we didn't get into that yet. I think for Zuffa, it's a brilliant move. Because
should we get into that?
I mean, yeah, we should. So I'm looking at it like this. So you see MVP, who has made incredible strides in a very short period of time in this sport, right? Coming from the outside, coming in. What was the tip of their spear? Women's boxing. They have dominated women's boxing. They have completely taken over the market for women's boxing. Very, very smart move. And now I think you see the kind of same thing. Listen, women's boxing's out. They already got it. MVP's got it. They've cornered the market. Cruiserweight, though, there's access. There's an ability to work in cruiserweight unlike any other weight class, because it's kind of like it's a weird weight class. The rules don't necessarily apply. So them going through the cruiserweight division to then bleed into the other divisions, very, very smart.
Yeah, because Opetaia can move up to heavyweight. There's been talk of that for a while. Mm-hmm. They have already signed a few heavyweights, albeit, you know, guys that are, you know, FA Jogbas of the world, Charles Martin of the world. But this signing also indicated to me that they could pretty much, not pretty much sign everyone, but they can get top tier talent.
Yes.
With a caveat, because what you said, cruiserweight, a guy that got out of a promotional contract with Matchroom, and it's a very calculated move, and he became available. But I mean, it's a big, it's a reigning champion. He's undefeated. He's top 20. It's not top 10. He's top 15-ish, 20. You know, so he can be moved. You know, you put him in front of UFC fans. I don't know how much this will work, but it's still something that Zuffa's going to do and TKO is going to do. They're going to have him at I would not be shocked if Jai Opetaia is at UFC 324 or UFC 325, and they're pushing him hardcore because he is marketable. The guy goes out there and kicks ass, and he's got the great look, and he's
good looking. He's big. He knocks people out.
And he's a very serious guy, too. Like, he doesn't do the antics. He's not going to be dancing, like you say, Chris, the era of cringe. At least not yet. we don't know about that yet. So we'll see.
Money makes people funny.
I don't know. What's the money, too? Is he fighting for the 50K, like, or whatever? Is he fighting under this new scale that Zuffa has? Did they sign him to a crazy signing bonus? You're saying no.
No, I'm saying they signed him to a crazy signing bonus, probably one of the bigger ones they're gonna put out, because everyone comes out of the gate strong with the money, and they kind of figure out the market. So again, that's where it's a positive for Opetaia, because he probably stepped into a big bag of cash. And if you're going to be the face of their movement, there's going to be more money behind that as well, and you're going to get a lot of push, which he really needs. Like you said, in terms of American audiences knowing him, he's not really a known entity. So if you have a machine behind you like Zuffa pushing you, yeah, he's going to grow real fast.
I hope so. I mean, we're rooting for him.
You're a great champion.
We're rooting for him. I am skeptical, but also excited about Zuffa. I think in this wait-and-see approach, let's sit back and wait. They do have Paramount Plus. That's more than what Top Rank can say right now.
Yeah.
Top Rank doesn't have a home right now. The biggest and probably the most prestigious boxing promotion does not have a home. And I don't see one in the near future. I mean, they're putting Emiliano Vargas, who I would say is one of their top prize prospects or top possessions. And he is fighting in late February on a Matchroom card. So
that's dangerous, by the way. Very, very dangerous.
Well, he's going to win. He's fighting another overmatched opponent. But what do you mean by dangerous?
Is he an overmatched opponent? And how much did...
He's a huge... He's going to be a minus 1,200 favorite.
Of course he is. But, okay, have we not seen prospects get knocked off? At that level especially, you know, those
it is numbers. But what else is Top Rank going to do right now? This is all they can do. They're farming out their talent to other promoters and networks.
There have been some other top-ranked fighters who have fought on other cards, and they have underperformed because they did not have the matchmaking machine that is Top Rank working for their guys. If you don't match certain guys, if you don't match them up the right way, they don't look great, and that's what Top Rank has always been good at. They pick the perfect opponents.
Speaking of Vargas brothers, the two of them fought in Win Lobby. I'm actually having it open right now. Amado Vargas and Fernando Vargas Jr., fighting outside of XS Nightclub at the Win. Amado slept Fernando's girlfriend. Oh, whoa. I'm reading a tweet. I thought it was going to say he slept the brother on the ground. All right, I'm not reading that. Apparently there's
Wait. Get this right before we get fucking banned.
Amado with...
Slept or knocked her out. Like, what that's a big difference.
They're saying one brother was hooking up with the other brother's sister.
Yikes.
And this is Hoop Kings Vegas.
Yikes. That's not good.
And the Vargas brothers, I mean, this is kind of adds to the lore of the Vargas brothers.
Well, I mean, their father is the man. Their father is the baddest dude around for a long time. Yeah, but
he's not going to be happy with this, though.
No.
This is bad.
No. And I'm sure that household has had a lot of fights over the years with all those kids in there, and their dad and their mom. Their mom's a force to be reckoned with as well. So sure there's been lots of that. It's just not good to do it in public. You got to keep that stuff behind closed doors.
Don't do it at the Win in the lobby, because they have big time security guards. I've been out in front of there.
You've been thrown out of there.
I've never been thrown out. I've walked out of my own accord.
All right, guys, I'm putting this belt down. It's actually very heavy. For anyone who has not held a championship belt, they're extremely heavy. And
bring it to the party.
My shoulder's falling asleep.
See, Chris was able to hold that belt up high.
Yeah, I'm old now. My shoulders are shot. My shoulders are beat up.
It's all tore up. So
you know what? I'll bring my baby belt. I'll bring that to the party. Actually,
We gotta bring something. We're gonna have to do some bells and whistles for this party. We're going to have a lot of stuff made up on the tables and stuff, like different knickknacks, and get some fighters to show up. And Big Bang Zhang showed up to the last party. Bival showed up to the last party. The Ring Magazine Awards show is going to be the night before Shakur versus Teofimo. Friday night will be the Ring party. So everyone's going to be in town this week. You know that, right?
Yes, of course. I couldn't find my mini, so I'll wear my whole
Is that the Ring 8?
Nah, it's the Ring 8 Hall of Fame belt. This one's
I was there.
This one's like, you were there with the Algeri family. That's right.
That was great. Great speech you gave, by the way.
Thank you.
Best speech of the day.
Bit of an orator at times.
Good speech. The other ones, not so much. Your speech was good because people actually listened, because it turns into a big social event there. Everyone's drunk and a bunch of fighters.
People don't know, like, everyone goes up there and everyone gets this to speak, but the entire place just chatters the whole time. Oh, I made sure that I was able to completely take charge of the room before I gave my speech. I made sure everybody was listening.
I was also walking around going, shh. Chris is talking. It's my podcast partner. Chris, did you see the Zuffa boxing promo video?
I did.
What a doozy.
What a doozy indeed. Maybe we can hire Max Kellerman to do a promo for our show, because this guy will promo anything.
Well, he works with Zuffa, okay? Yes. Max is for hire right now. He's on Netflix.
Yes, that's what I mean. He's for hire. Maybe we can hire him. Maybe we can save up.
He's got a Netflix podcast. He's got the Ring show that he does.
He lays it on thick, boy.
Max is for hire right now, and Max Kellerman was narrating this Zuffa boxing video, which depicted Dana White as quite literally the savior of boxing. And this was what Max said in this video. In the modern age, boxing has lost its aura. It's been pushed to the margins. Why is that? Maybe because there's never been an architect, a visionary, who's been able to harness its power and present it in the way it should be presented. Then you see Dana White walk forward wearing a tie. Dana White never wears ties. And he's holding a belt. It's the Zuffa belt. And he walks into a empty Apex arena, looks around. So that's what they're doing here. Zuffa is literally saying Dana White is the savior of boxing. That is some big time expectations.
Well, there is this through line. There is this narrative that boxing is dead and gone and needs to be saved. Max Kellerman said that in with the Canelo Crawford buildup, and immediately Canelo snapped at him.
He slapped
the words out of his mouth that night. So there is this through line. There is this narrative. They're going to keep pushing it. This is not the last time we're going to hear it. This is not the first time, because we heard it and that buildup for that fight, and we're seeing it again now, and that's going to be plastered all over the internet. It is hogwash. Boxing is alive and well and doing great, doing better than it ever has. It has in the last couple decades, probably in the 2000s. This is the best that boxing has been. It's not the 90s. It's not the 80s. But we're doing good in the 2020s so far. So I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon that boxing needs to be saved. But again, that's a narrative. That's a through line. This is what he's paid to do. This is his organization now. So that's that.
Does it need to be saved? No. Is there any one person that could save it? No. Does it need to be improved? Yes, of course. And that's where Zuffa comes in. That's where Dana White comes in. But man, they are just setting the bar really high. I mean, they had him as just walking in as he's going to change everything. And if you watch UFC or if you listen to a lot of UFC fans, I mean, I think UFC is going complete opposite way. I think UFC is the product is getting worse and worse. Like Dana White is becoming less and less interested and less enthused about the product. You know, they sold out big time. They made a lot of money on it. And now they have a whole new broadcast home and there's no more pay-per-view. So there isn't real big incentive to put on these huge events. And it's still good events and it's still great value for fans. But I don't know, man. I don't know if Dana White can be the savior. I'm wait and see approach. I am quite interested to see how he can come in and do this, but just right away off the bat with this announcement and having him walk in like that with the tie on and the belt and just looking like a guy that's gonna like I'm gonna change everything, like good luck, man. Because Eddie Hearn is out there waiting. Oscar De La Hoya is out there waiting. There's a lot of sharks, Frank Warren out there, a lot of sharks circling right now saying, really, like you're gonna put us out of business? Like we've been doing this for 50-60 years.
It's hard for those guys not to take offense by this narrative that's getting put out there. And because you're putting the blame on them, because they're the guys that have been in power for decades now. And it's true. Like, oh, if this thing is broken and you guys are heading the ship, you guys are the captain of the ship on these rough seas. You drop the ball and we're going to fix it. It's hard not to take offense to that if you've been the guys in power for a while. But I think it actually rising tide raises all ships, right? I think it's gonna instill some competition, and competition is good. Boxing is capitalistic, and it's meritocracy can fall off if everyone gets complacent. But now you're adding a new player, complacency is going to go out the window, and everyone's going to get vicious and aggressive again and competitive again. And I think it's going to help the fans.
Dana White and Eddie Hearn, up until about 6 months ago, were very complimentary towards each other. Oh, yeah, that's going to end. White says, that's already has ended. Because yeah. Eddie Hearn, in a very smart way, because I do think he's a very smart businessman, Eddie,
very smart.
Has taken it to Dana White in certain ways without getting blustery, without like going full Oscar route when Oscar will just get like personal and just like Eddie knows how to go about it in like almost well, like Oscar's a fighter charm type of way.
Oscar's the only fighter promoter. He's the only former fighter turned promoter in the boxing world. So he's going to act completely different. The fighter never leaves.
Kind of grave hit. We grade him differently because he's been 100% hit in the head.
No, not it's not. It's nothing to do with being hit in the head. It has to do with that competitive nature and that viciousness and that no holds barred aspect. You're not a businessman. You're a fighter. And yes, we are businessmen in terms of dealing with our business, but we're still fighters at the end of the day. Oscar will still punch you in the face if it comes down to it. Eddie's not punching anybody. You know, Bob Arum's not punching anybody. He was never going to punch anybody. Bob is a lawyer. You know,
Bob
those guys
wanted to punch Coppinger.
Yeah, he wanted to, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't. He knows better. He's smarter. He's smarter than that. He's not as reactive. Fighters are different. Fighters will punch you. An 80-year-old fighter, former fighter, will punch you in a bar if you step on his foot and say the wrong thing to him. Oscar will always be that way. So that's why he's different. We look at him differently. Eddie is a businessman. He was born and bred to do this. Literally born and bred to do this from his family. Frank Warren, he's not going to punch you, but someone on his team will. And they might shoot you and put you in a trunk.
I respect Frank Warren.
Frank Warren is the man.
Shot in the head.
Frank Warren, Frank Warren is a he's old school gangster true and true.
He literally has a dent in his head.
Yeah, you got to respect Frank. Everyone in the sport does. Everyone knows what they're dealing with and do with Frank. Just like Bob. I think him and Bob are the two guys that people are like, okay, we don't mess with them.
Well, they're just OG. They just survived it all, like literally. And they came out as winners, you know. And I think that the 5-on-5 really did wonders for Queensberry because they dominated the match.
Smoked it. And he said he was going to do it too.
And there's a lot of people out there that can't stand Eddie. And you have Frank coming in there showing him who's boss. Hey, you know, you don't have to be all blustery in front of the camera like you, Eddie. I can come in there and do that. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Dana White. The belt was interesting. Opetaia being in the promo video. And I was like, wait a second. I did like the Leonardo DiCaprio. I point. Is that Jai Opetaia? Because is he signed with them? Next thing you know, he's announcing the sign. So the marketing has been good so far. A slow Friday night was when they announced it. And it definitely got the eyeballs of boxing fans. Now we wait and see. This Friday, though, they have their first card. I'm not going to get too deep into it because we will do a lot more looking at it on our episode later in the week. It's Callum Walsh versus Carlos Ocampo. It's Messio Rodriguez, Austin Deonda. Julian Hammerhands Rodriguez fighting out of Hasbro Heights, New Jersey versus Kane Sandoval. And they have some good talent on the prelims. Two really good prospects, legit guys, Troy Nash and Robert Merriweather. Not fighting each other, but they're the first two fights of the night. And that's what, honestly, Chris, that's what I'm going to keep my eyes on when I watch these Zuffa cards, is what the prelims are almost as important as the main card.
Yeah, they're the future.
And they always are important for me. But
yeah, true.
For Zuffa, I want to really see who are they bringing in here. Because if this is going to be a really long play, which we know it is going to be, these are the types of guys you got to keep your eyes on. The Robert Merriweather, the Troy Nashes.
Robert Merriweather, we've had him on Pro Box several times. Good looking prospect, young guy. You know, he's 20 years old now. We had him when he was in his teens. You know, the last couple years hasn't been fighting for us recently, but talented guy. And like you said, in terms of you know where we're going and the way that Zuffa seems to be moving. Yeah, you gotta keep an eye out for those type guys. Yeah, he had two fights on our air, and he's good. He's got the goods. He's definitely got some growth to go, but he's also very young. So, interesting to see how he looks that night.
Yeah, it's great.
Fighting another undefeated fighter, apparently Cesar Carrera, 5-0 guy.
I think this Julian Rodriguez on the main card, Julian Hammerhands. I called one of his fights against Avius Griffin.
I've called multiple fights of his on Top Rank.
Hammerhands, it's got hammer hands because
he can always punch.
They brought it. Avius Griffin was signed by MVP. He was a 16-0 with 16 knockouts. He fought Julian on the Chavez Paul card, and I don't know if you remember this, but Rodriguez and Jake Paul got into it on the stage, and I loved it because everyone, when Jake does this, he tries to bully the fighters on the stage at the press conferences, because they go around and they, you know, Ariel will stir the pot and ask every fighter on the stage, who do you think is going to win, Jake or whoever he's fighting? And a lot of the MVP fighters say, Jake's going to win. And then the B-sides go, the other guy's going to win. But Hammerhands wasn't having that. And then all of a sudden Jake got into it. I think Jake made a comment like, I've made more in like one round than you have in your whole career. And then Hammerhands goes in there, Julian Rodriguez, and knocks out the MVP guy in the 10th round, final round. Awesome fight.
Yeah.
And I love that. I honestly, I work with MVP, but I love that. I really, when I shook his hand after, I said, bro, you made a name for yourself tonight. So that's great. He's on this Zuffa card. So we'll break that Zuffa card down much more extensively, but we know what it is. We're all going to be watching. Yes, I'm going to be glued to the TV because I want to see presentation.
Dan, it's boxing. Of course you're going to be watching.
Yeah, but I'm looking for all of these other things that you're watching for the fights, but you also watch for the stuff like this too. But I want to see the presentation. I want to see – I know who's going to be calling the fights. I want to see the talent. I want to see how it looks. I want to see – it's something new. We have a new shiny toy here as a boxing fan. Like, we've seen like a lot of the broadcasts, and they're all good out there, some better than others. But let's see what Zuffa's all about. It's coming to you from the apex, so that's already
Yeah, it's underwhelming, but – I'm going to say this over and over again. It is a slow play. They're keeping the money low for now, the presentation, but I'm sure everything leading up to it is going to be huge. It's also a really tough month to start your new dip into this sport because January is jam packed with huge fights. So, again,
at least they're not going up against any fights.
No, not head to head. They're smart. They're smart enough to do that. But that's
they're already one step ahead.
Yeah, well, they can do that because it's at the apex. They have total control of the date and the venue. It's not like they have to put in a hold, you know, in advance. You know,
yeah,
that's
a good point.
They can always, you know, they're controlling the controllables, which is a very smart business move. And there's no question these guys are very smart and business savvy. But boxing is an animal in and of itself. So how they're going to maneuver through the minefield that is boxing is yet to be seen. And that's why we're going to be tuned in, watching on bated breath.
Hey, we said heading into this year, I thought it was the number one storyline in the sport. Was what will Zuffa do? And, you know, we're making moves already here in January. Canelo and Turkey announced in a hostage video, a video that Canelo, we can make jokes.
That's what we're here for, man.
Canelo and Turkey announced a September return for Canelo. Turkey says it will be a title fight. It will be in September. It will be Canelo or Mexico versus the world, he says. It will be Canelo's promotions. It will be a title fight. He will not be fighting in May, Canelo, for the first time in many years, six, seven years, including excluding COVID. So Canelo, you've got the elbow injury. He will be back in September. It will be in Saudi Arabia. It will be a title fight. Who will he be fighting is the main question. I think we can rule out now Chris Eubank Jr. for now, unless he wins a title in the next couple of months. But Iglesias is now fighting for the IBF title. He found a seventh-ranked guy because everyone else turned it down. Pacheco and Shiraz should be fighting for WBO title. Resendez, who beat Caleb Plant, is fighting or rumored to be fighting Munguia for the WBA title. Resendez is elevated to full WBA. WBA doesn't have any plans right now. They have a vacant title. Obviously, you know, they love Canelo. So there's a lot of things have to happen at 168 to figure out who Canelo is fighting, but Canelo's back in September. Which version of Canelo are we going to get? We'll see.
I mean, the elbow injury, it is his left elbow. That is his jab. That is his left hook. So I'm not surprised that he's not fighting in May. You know, surgeries take a while.
Is this a real injury or is this, I don't want to fight for a few months because I made a who knows how much money?
I mean, so it could be it's an excuse for why he lost the Crawford the first fight. It could be, you know, I need some time off kind of thing. But you never know. And you got to think a guy at his age is not going to waste time being out if he doesn't have to. So I'm going to say that the injury is probably real. And it makes me think
it's
of,
definitely, I'm not saying it's fake injury, but I don't think it's as severe as we think.
I don't know, dude, because again, if it was his right arm, I would agree with you. But if it's his left arm, then yes, that is his main weapon. So that's a big deal. And injuries take longer than you think because it's not just about healing it so you can go be an accountant. You're healing it so you can go be a professional world champion fighter. So it takes a long time. That's why hands, whenever they push a fight off because of a hand injury, and they're like, oh, it'll be in 2 months. Yeah, okay, we'll see. Because I've gone through hand injuries. I've gone through injuries. I've gone through surgeries. I've had multiple knee surgeries. I've had hand surgeries. They take way longer than even the doctors say because, again, you're not going back to regular life. You're going into a fight sport. So I'm not surprised at all. It makes me think of when Manny Pacquiao had the shoulder thing. Teofimo.
Did he heal that in the ocean, though?
I mean... But then he comes back. Yeah, I'm sorry, Teofimo Lopez. Remember Teofimo Lopez? He had a fight with the Japanese fighter. What was his name? Yeah.
2019.
Yeah, and he struggled mightily. And then
that was a tough fight.
Yeah, it was a really tough fight. And then he said there was an injury.
Tall guy, I remember.
And then he came back and looked great. Lomachenko, same thing. Lomachenko blamed the shoulder injury for, I think it was the Teofimo fight. And then he got the surgery, came back, and he fought that same Japanese fighter and absolutely destroyed him. And I was like, wow, okay, he's not... that was not an excuse. That shoulder was a serious problem, and now he's back.
I'm not saying he definitely has an injury. It's working out in his favor because I don't think he has to fight in May. Would I like to see him fight in May? Yes. But he could... If he fights in September, which he's going to, this gives us now 8 months to find an opponent. This gives us 8 months for these fighters.
The landscape is also going to change. Yeah.
Exactly. We have vacant belts across the board in this division. I think it's great for boxing. Crawford's out of the picture. Now it's a fun division too. We have Iglesias fighting for the IBF. We have Pacheco, Shiraz, Resendez, Munguia, Mabili. These are all potential Canelo guys. These guys should be hungry to get that Canelo ticket, that Saudi ticket. That's the big one. That's the freaking jackpot. There's a lottery.
There's a lot of good fights and a lot of bad fights for Canelo at 68. 68's a minefield because it's talented guys.
In terms of like dangerous, right, for him?
Yes, yes. Guys that...
Fun for us as fans.
Fun for us as fans. Maybe not, because I think there are certain guys that Canelo wouldn't even look good against and would handily.
There's guys out there that want to see Canelo in with Shiraz.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, yes, yes, there's going to be that. But is it going to be a thrilling fight? Probably. No, actually, it could be. But...
I think they're all going to be good.
I think the Resendez-Munguia fight makes a lot of sense. The winner there, I think he beats both of those guys.
He's
already
not going to fight Munguia. Didn't he just sign with Canelo?
He already fought Munguia.
He also already fought him.
Yeah, but I've seen that. Dude, if you're Munguia...
He carried him. He literally lifted him up.
Okay, but if you're Munguia, you're not gonna fight your boss for another gigantic payday? Of course you are.
I'm ruling that one out. I don't want to see Canelo Munguia again. I watched that sparring.
No,
session.
Most people don't. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it's Canelo.
I think Shiraz is the guy. I think that's what Turkey wants.
Oh, Turkey might want that because that would, you know, it's his guy. He's got to beat Pacheco. I don't know if he beats Pacheco. Pacheco's very good. I know he didn't look great in his last fight, but I think that actually is going to help him. I think the bigger issue is outside of the ring stuff, what he's at with his new trainers, if they're going to be ready for that kind of fight. But that's a really tough fight to pick. We also don't know how good Shiraz is at 68. Yeah, he blew up Berlanga, but not knocking my guy Berlanga, but...
No, you can. I'll knock him.
He's not tested at 68 at the highest level.
It was a good win on paper, but I mean...
Yeah. Iglesias is a nightmare. He's a 6'2" southpaw. 6'2" southpaw with 14 KOs and 15 fights. He's an absolute nightmare.
Dude, everyone turned down that IBF eliminator because it's more than just they don't want to fight him. It's the fact that the IBF has the weight clause. Yeah. No one wants to do that. And also, there's no money in fighting Iglesias. So when I see all the guys that turned down Iglesias, there's a lot of reasons why.
As soon as he gets a belt, though, it's a problem.
Right, and he's fighting. I got to find who he's fighting. It's a seventh-ranked guy. Some guy stepped up to the plate and will be fighting Iglesias. So there's movement in this division.
Thanks to Bud Crawford. Thank you, Bud.
Thank you, Bud, for retiring and beating the belts. You're the best.
Thank you, Bud. Thank you, Bud, for beating Canelo, releasing those belts. You are a hero to the sport.
Yeah, so we'll see with Canelo by September. What's the fans' interest in Canelo? It's a very interesting time period for him.
We'll always be there.
Sitting out He's going to be sitting out for an entire year, not fighting in May, no longer at the top of his game, no longer a title holder, no longer fighting in Vegas.
What's he going to be? Is he going to be 37 when he comes back? 36, 37? Where is he at? I think he's going to be 37, right?
I think he's 36 now.
All right, so that's the time he's back.
He's 35 now.
Okay.
He'll be 36. He's July birthday, so he's turning 36.
So he'll be on the other end of 35.
Wow.
Yeesh, yeesh.
He posted something on his Instagram story, like, you know, the AI thing where it shows you as like a teenager.
Yeah. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I got like a little emotional watching it.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around for 20 years.
I know he's a figure that some fans just don't like. And I don't want to get
he's polarizing. No question.
Polarizing. And when you're at the top, you're going to have haters and fans. But
Dan, which face of boxing has not been polarizing? Floyd? Exactly. Oscar? Who's not been polarizing? Mike Tyson?
As someone that works in the sport, I appreciate the Canelos, the Mayweathers, the Oscars.
Even Sugar Ray Leonard was polarizing.
We need those guys. And I look at it a little differently than fans do because I work in this business. You work in this business. We need the cash cows. So to watch, to know that's coming to an end makes you a little nervous. Someone will emerge. What else is going on? Virgil Ortiz suing Golden Boy. I put a video out earlier in the week.
I've been talking about that ad nauseum on Pro Box.
God, I see you, bro. I see you on these boxing scene videos, and they're tough. It's tough. Do fans give a damn? Now we're into litigation. Now we ultimately
no. And every top fighter at some point gets into litigation with their promotions. I did it. Andre Ward did it. Virgil's now doing it.
Mikey Garcia
did it.
Ryan Canelo. Garcia.
Oscar De La Hoya himself did it. He has been on the other side of this before because we always, again, we're going back to Oscar being a fighter. Like Oscar had a bunch of tiffs with Bob over the years in Top Rank. Floyd, same thing. All the top guys have always had, this is part of the sport. Do fans care? No, they do not.
They don't care, but it's a juicy headline. When you see juicy headline. Yeah. Suing Golden Boy. The basis of the lawsuit is that Golden Boy and DAZN do not have a broadcast contract. It lapsed on January 1st, 2026. And in the contract Virgil Ortiz has with Golden Boy, it says if under any circumstance Golden Boy and DAZN do not have a broadcast deal, he has grounds to terminate his contract with Golden Boy. It's a very smart move. It's a very smart piece of in this contract, and they're exercising it. Now, De La Hoya says, I can't believe that he has vultures. He can spin it any which way he wants. Virgil and his dad and his manager decided to sue Oscar De La Hoya. They weren't forced into a lawsuit. They decided, they saw an opening here. And what I see from some respected voices in like the John Nashes of the world on Twitter who study fight contracts all the time, he has a pretty decent case here. Because as far as I can understand, Golden Boy and DAZN do not have a contract right now. This Rocha-Curiel fight was the last one until they are negotiating, though. So there is a gray area, too. That's going to be for the lawyers to figure out. But Oscar can spin this all the way he wants. He put out a video. He did an interview with Mannix on the broadcast saying, you know, Virgil's a great kid. His dad's a good guy. I understand. But he has vultures. There's vultures out there. And the vulture is what's his last name?
Meridian.
Rick Meridian, who just put out a video himself. He's the quote-unquote vulture, according to Oscar. But he's not a vulture. He's the manager. The manager's closer to the fighter than the promoter, right?
Yes. The promoter and the fighter are often at ends because they're fighting over the same bag. And that's how it works. So just for a little inside boxing, because this is why you tune into Inside Boxing Live, when you have opposing promoters making a fight, there's a package deal. That package first gets delivered to the promoter. So Virgil's promoter is Oscar De La Hoya, obviously. He's going to get the package first, and then from there he's going to pay Virgil. So he's the first line. And so oftentimes what happens is the promoter then speaks to the fighter and says, hey, we have this much money. And then you go and you negotiate and you go back and forth with the promoter. So the fighter and the promoter are basically on opposite sides of the negotiating table to figure out that deal. And then once the deal comes to fruition, then they move on together. So you're always going to have that. The manager is on the fighter's side. Yes, he gets a percentage of whatever the fighter gets, but it's a percentage of whatever the fighter gets, which is a percentage of what the promoter gets. So it goes down the line. So yes, the manager is going to be closer to the fighter than the promoter in this kind of situation. So of course, Oscar going at ends with the manager makes sense. This is normal boxing negotiations, business-ish stuff. So this is just how it goes. This is how it went with me when you're dealing with other promoters. The issue is what you said about the network. That's big. That's really big. Because when you have a fighter at the level of Virgil, if you can't put him on a network, then you're in provision of services with other promoters and you're always going to be on the B side, technically. This is how I came up, because I was with a very small promoter, but I was fighting on big shows. I fought on all the big shows against all the other promoters. I was always the B side because my promoter was very small, had no network, had no deal, had no footing, no grounds to really go to war with these guys. So we had to take what we could get with each deal that was made, because we were always fighting on someone else's show. That's what a provision of services means. You know, the fighter is the service and the promoter is then giving the provision of that service. So he's allowing you to use that fighter, his fighter. And with a guy at the level of Virgil Ortiz, he can't be in that kind of situation. He cannot be in that kind of relationship. He needs his own network. And so there is something real about that lawsuit based on that. The other things are pretty frivolous in terms of the Clapback Thursday. That's just great fodder
for us.
Yeah, that's not a real thing.
Ortiz's side hates the Clapback Thursdays. I don't like them. You think they're funny? I hate them.
But that is not an issue, but again, it's fodder, it's fun. Because I'll say this, and I've said this on the boxing scene shows, that promoters are often like, oh, well, you know, you're creating enemies. Everybody hates you. Clapback Thursday. Everybody hates you because you call everybody out. Yeah, okay. Until it comes to negotiating table, now we're talking tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Then the promoters are all friends and they're all smoking cigars together and having whiskeys and making deals, because they may hate each other in public, but when it comes down to making deals,
they do more harm than good.
They do, but they're entertaining.
But what is he doing? Is he entertaining or is he a promoter? I guess
he's entertaining.
There's a blurring of the lines.
He's entertaining. Floyd. Oscar's an entertainer, man. He's a fighter.
Another fighter that is now, trying to leave. The same lawyer that Canelo used is using. Ortiz hired the same lawyer that Canelo used. So that's a. And this guy has done this, and he successfully got Canelo out of this deal. Ryan Garcia sued Oscar De La Hoya, and he got more money and a better deal out of it. So this is not the first time a fighter has sued Oscar. There's something to be said about that. I mean, I think Oscar does a great job with getting Virgil Ortiz to this level, getting Ryan Garcia to the level he's at. He's getting Canelo. It's tried and true. With the track record speaks for itself with Oscar in terms of getting these fighters to stars. But then they always get upset. And the same thing with Oscar. He left top ranks. Egos. I don't think Virgil has a big ego, but he's probably not happy with how this has played out with Boots. And according to the document, Ortiz's team asked for $7 million to fight Boots. And as we know, there are many ways to duck fights. You can price yourself. You can ask for more money. I don't know how much truth is in that. I just think it's interesting for fans to go and read this lawsuit, because it peels back the curtain a little bit about what goes on at these, like Chris talked about, what goes on at these meetings, what goes on in these rooms with the lawyers. I do hope it doesn't mean that Virgil Ortiz sits out for a year. These things very rarely get settled fast. They drag.
Mikey 2.5 years for me.
Good God. I hate
two years, two years, two plus years for Andre Ward. Mikey was like just under 2 years, something like that. Yeah. So a year is not even bad. It can be much more, but that would be a real blow to the sport, not even just Virgil and his team, to the sport to not have him active.
The last thing I'll say about this is it's just a dragged out negotiation. We're now into litigation. All this for a fight that I think would be lucky to generate 150,000 to 200,000 buys on pay-per-view.
Which is crazy to think about. It's the quote-unquote the biggest fight we can make in America. And it's like, it won't even sell. Yet Jake Paul can sell. He can fight the guy at Subway, and it'll sell way more than that.
Marketing, baby. Last thing I want to talk about is this IVB. Did you see IVB, I Visit Boxing, made some headlines over the weekend? They want to stage the largest outdoor boxing event in history. Right now, that's 135,132, a fight that went down in 1941 between Tony Zale and Billy Pryor in Milwaukee. Their CEO is Ed Pereira, and he supposedly has struck a deal with YouTube to distribute over 12 fights this year. And one will be January, and one will be July 11th in San Francisco. There are some rumors that it could be Usyk versus Wilder. I could not confirm or deny that it will be that fight. They want to stage an outdoor event with over 130,000 people on YouTube, free to fans to come in and watch. This guy, Ed Pereira, the CEO, was part of the Times Square event with Riyadh Season. He worked with Turkey and Sella. He says that he's out on his own now, and he's looking to make a splash. So IVB, I Visit Boxing, is the latest player trying to revolutionize our sport.
I love new players. I love new fight dates. I love the idea, the rollout. So more power to you. It's good. Again, I mentioned earlier in the show about the competition. You get new players in, it gets everybody to kind of step their game up. Meritocracy is still a real thing. So I'm into it. Also, you know, the fact that Usyk and Deontay Wilder doesn't have a home yet. The fact that YouTube has not been used as a major platforming situation for boxing is kind of interesting to me. Like, no one's ever kind of tried that. So that's novel, and I like it. Especially because, you know, all the streaming networks are coming in, the premium channels are gone. We need more homes. We need reasons, you know, for boxing to be out in the public eye. In terms of getting 150,000 people, that's a pipe dream, to say the least. That's not just not happening. The era of that is gone, especially in San Francisco. It's not an easy place to get to, in and out of. And I don't know what kind of venue they have for that, but whatever. Cool. Another player, I'm all for it. Revolutionize the sport. Again, good luck, but hopefully it can. It's going to bring more fights, and that's all I care about.
Right. There are certain parts of this that I like. There's 12 fights that they're going to announce.
So there's going to be 12 fights this year. So that means 12 fights starting in July. That's
no,
a lot of
July
fights.
July is the big one.
And oh, there's going to be fights
supposedly starting in March. There's going to be a February press conference where
still a
schedule
a lot of
is going to be rolled
year.
Out. Yeah, and they're going to be on YouTube, and I didn't know there's a YouTube pay-per-view, but I believe it's supposed to be like $10 to $15. I don't know for sure. They got to make money somehow. But they have a distribution deal with YouTube. They have a deal with San Francisco's mayor. They had a big press conference. The Usyk-Wilder thing, that has to be the fight in July in order to get close to the interest, or if he wants to shatter this record – then you have to have a name like that. But I don't know if Usyk and Wilder could generate a crowd like that. Is there going to be some type of other festival going on? I know the World Cup will be going on around that time. This guy, Ed Pereira, has track record, man. He comes from big events overseas, and he was part working with Sella. I'm intrigued because more fight dates, like you said, Chris, more distribution. He's saying all the right things. He wants to get it out in front of people. The sport is great, but we got to get it out in front of people. YouTube is a great way to do that. Big time fights, if they're free or not, in terms of fans showing up. We'll see. We get to sit back and watch. For Ed Pereira, he's going to have to roll up his sleeves here.
Yeah, I mean, he's going for it. He's swinging big. I like it. It's the American way. It's the American way to swing big. So I'm here for it. Like I said, we're going to be watching with our popcorn to see how this rolls out. But at the end of the day, more fights is good. More distribution is good. Another player, I think, is good. I don't think we will boo-hoo certain, you know, new players coming in. But at the end of the day, like, we're gonna assess what everything is going on, and it's going to ultimately help the sport, even if it crashes and fails and they put on one fight. All right. He does one fight, and some fighters got paid, and we got to watch it.
Yep. We'll see. We'll keep an eye. Crazy sport, guys. If you watch this episode right here, you can see this sport is absolutely batshit crazy. And it's our job to help you understand and navigate.
Break it down
through
the best you can.
Good gracious. We'll be back later in the week. We got Zuffa 1 starting on Friday night. Supposed to be a Tama fight weekend. He got hurt. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Then we could have had ourselves a nice little
hurt. It was his biceps injury.
torn bicep came right off the muscle.
Yeah, that's not right, that's not a 2 month recovery, by the way, in terms of coming back.
Well, it can't
fight.
Be that serious because they already have a date.
Could be a partial tear. It certainly could be a partial tear. It could be the muscle belly, which will heal much faster if it's not a full like insertion for off the bone, where it needs like a surgery that anchors into the forearm bone, then it's a lot quicker. They haven't really given details of that injury, but if it's a bicep injury can be like 6 months to a year if it's a full blown rupture.
Well, they already have a date.
Right, but they already date. So I mean, maybe they're being a little too optimistic, but we'll see.
I hope this is the date because I feel bad for the other six fights. The Magnificent Seven, and six of the 12 fighters right now are like, shit, I just did a whole training camp and they canceled it 10 days before the event.
Yikes. That's tough.
Sucks. That absolutely sucks. All right. We'll see you later in the week. And protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you're looking for tickets to our pre-fight party on January 31st. There's the belt, Chris. Chris, that belt will be there. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you next time.